got somebody here in Birmingham today, like a copy of God's Word, extract that is from the Bible, offered to you quite freely without any cost or any obligation to you. God's written Word, which is able, it says, to make a body, a person wise unto salvation. That is, those who read and meditate upon it, those who believe God's Word. God's Word, of course, that cannot lie. The Word of God, my friends, that has the ability also to bring salvation to your soul. Deliverance from the enemy within, your worst enemy, that of your own sinful and deceitful heart. The truth, my friend, the truth alone is the answer and the antidote, to a deceitful heart. If you'd like a copy of God's Word, do feel free to come and ask for one. Offered to you freely, without any cost or any obligation to you. If you would like one, do feel free to come and ask for one. In the book of Psalms, written, of course, the Bible tells me, written by King David, who was then, of course, back in those days, he was the King of Israel, don't you know? And he was a godly king, he was a godly man. He was a man who trusted in the one who was to come after him, that is, the mighty Son of God, the King of all kings, Jesus Christ. His trust was in him, and in him alone. And of course, he speaks in that book of Psalms, he speaks much about Jesus. He tells us long before Jesus was born into the world, he tells us of how he would come and what he would do, how he would live, how he would die, and how he would rise again from the dead, in order that men and women who trust in him, Jesus, that is, would be justified, made right, that is, with God, and all brought into a right standing with God. That thing, of course, that all men need, because, there's none of us, naturally speaking, that is, in a right standing with God. We need to be shifted. We need to be moved. We need to be transformed. We need to be recreated, as Jesus puts it. We need to be born again. Because we come, you see, into the world in a wrong state, on the wrong side of God. We come into the world, my friend, sinners. And so, like King David, you see, we need a Savior. We need a Savior. He declares, he testifies, he says, that the ungodly, they shall not stand in the judgment. Well, how could an ungodly, how could a godless sinner possibly stand in the judgment? With no defense, no advocate, no one to defend them from the justice of God. No, my friends, in that day, you would need to have an advocate. You would need to have Jesus, the only one, my friends, who can get you a pass on that day. No, he says, the ungodly shall perish in the way of their ungodliness, in the way of their godlessness, in the way of their unrighteousness, unholiness, in their natural state and condition, that is. Why, my friends, why? You must, as Jesus says, you must be born again, my friend. For the natural man receiveth not the things of God. The things of the Spirit of God, they are foolishness unto him. My friend, you must. Take Jesus' word for it, you must be born again. Just as King David was, raised from the dead, my friend, to new life in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He says, he testifies here in Psalm 30, if you would like to check it out. Having got a Bible, gladly give you one. He says, O Lord, Thou hast brought my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. He was brought out of a state of death, my friend. That thing of which I speak to you, resurrection, you see. Some people, they think that their religion will do. Some people think that being religious, dressing in religious clothes, attending religious places, that that makes them right with God. Some people think going to church, saying their prayers every night, you know, that that will get them a pass on that day. Not good enough, my friend. All the religion in the world, I tell you, could you embrace all of it, will not save you, will not bring you out of a state of death, because that's the state you're in, don't you know? That's the natural state of men and women, a state of death. Just because you've been born doesn't mean to say you're alive. No, no, my friend, no. Understand, will you please, what else King David says. He says that you are conceived in sin, in your mother's womb. Ping, just in that moment of conception. That's when you become a human being, contrary to the murdering, slaughtering, abortionist, who will tell you it's just a fetus. No, my friend, a human being. At the point of conception, you become a human being, and you become a sinful human being. You get the disease, you see, from your parents, who got it from their parents, who got it from their parents, all the way back to Adam, the first man, who brought sin and death into the world. So you're conceived in sin, and then 9 months later you're born in sin, and all your days you live in sin, and will die in it, my friends, unless by the grace of God you're saved. But you see, my friends, you're born into, not into life, you're born into an existence. You're born, my friends, into a state of death, and that state of death continues all the way through your existence. 70 years, maybe 80 by God's grace, and then it comes to an end. Your existence, I mean, not your life, because you've never known life. You've never been alive. You've been in a state of death all your existence long, and then you depart this world, and your state and condition of death continues on everlastingly for all eternity. Never, never, never to have lived, unless that is God, by His grace, brings you out of that state of death, makes you alive. But that's the thing to which David testifies here, you see, that God, in His grace and kindness, made him alive, took him out of that state of death, raised him from the grave, from his tomb, that is, of unbelief, of sin, my friend, a state of sin, a state, my friends, of death. The walking dead, my friends, that's what you are without Jesus. That's what you are unless God, in His grace and kindness, raises you from the dead. And why I say to you, my friend, it's resurrection that you need. It's regeneration that you need. It's what Jesus means, you see, when He says that a man must be born again. Except a man must be born again, He says. Now, a dear old lady said to me in Stafford yesterday, she pointed to my side and she said, not without a woman. Oh, the poor old soul. You see what I mean? She can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. She's an unbelief. She doesn't understand. foolishness to her. That's not what Jesus meant. He didn't mean responding to your mother's womb and being born over again. What Jesus meant was being made alive by God, being brought out of that state of death, being resurrected, being regenerated, being born again. It is, my friends, when God, by His grace, in conjunction with the preaching of the gospel, that God, you see, by His mighty voice, by His majestic voice, my friend, He puts life into the souls of men and women. He makes them alive. He takes them from the state of death, just as David was in. But God raised him. God took him out of that state of death, resurrected him, regenerated him, caused him to be reborn, that is. And God, you see, He puts His life, into the soul of a man or woman, and they begin to live for the first time in their existence. They're born again, you see. He must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Never mind, enter into it. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again, says Jesus. Don't marvel at it, my friends. The only way the dead can live is if they're resurrected. Is only if they're brought out of that state of death. And there's only one person can do that, my friend. And that's the Almighty, that's God Himself in Jesus Christ. But that's what He does, you see. That's what He did for King David. He rescued him from the grave. He resurrected him. Now I tell you, all the religion in the world won't do that for you. You can be so diligent. You can be so faithful in your religion. You can do the 12 stations of the cross, the pillars of Islam. You can go to Mecca and you can dance around the black stone all day long. But that will not put life into you. That will not take you out of the grave. That will not put eternal life into your soul. Impossible, my friends, that religion, mere religion, something you do yourself, could possibly put life into your soul. No, my friends, God must do it. And God alone can do it. But of course, as long as you remain in your unbelief, you know, whatever form your unbelief takes, whether it be religious unbelief or whether it be just pure, simple, godless, secular unbelief, my friends, it makes no difference. Unbelief is unbelief, my friends, and nothing else. And my friends, that state of unbelief, well, that just keeps you in your state of death. That state in which David was in until God raised him from his grave. Raised him from his unbelief. Raised him, my friend, from his natural state. Made him alive. Alive in Jesus. The one who says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one that is who is able to give life. Life is his to give, and life is his to take away. But my friend, he needs to take away your sin before he takes your life away. Before he takes you out of this world. Oh, my friends, Jesus, He, the one with the authority, the power to give life, my friends, to whosoever He will. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Believest thou this, He said. My friends, your unbelief keeps you in the grave. Your unbelief keeps you in the state of death. Your unbelief keeps you in your sin. Keeps you in your natural state and condition. Unable to receive the things of the Spirit of God. Foolishness unto you. Oh, my friends. My friends, you need You need Jesus to make you alive. You need the grace of God. You need the kindness, the loving kindness of God towards sinners in giving us such a Savior, giving us such a one as Jesus, giving us such a one has the power, my friends, I tell you, the power to raise the dead to life, my friends, to command it today through the preaching of the gospel, that your soul, that it might live and live for all eternity. You see, when King David was brought out of the grave, out of that state of death, my friends, it wasn't simply just to die again. It was in order to give him eternal life. Because Jesus, you see, he calls his sheep by name. He calls them, my friends, and they follow him. And he says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, never to die again, but to live forever. Oh, my friends, I tell you, when Jesus, when the mighty Son of God, when he takes a man from the grave, when he resurrects, when he regenerates a man or woman, makes them alive, he makes them alive forevermore. But don't you know, my friend, it's sin that brought this death into the world. Your first parents and mine, Adam is same one. Not just the head, not just the first man, but the head of the entire human race. And when he sinned, my friends, he brought death into the world. And now death has passed to all men by natural generation. So that, my friends, everyone born into this world is born into this world in a state of death, my friends, just mere existence. Adam brought sin into the world with all its misery, with all its pain, my friend, with all its darkness. Oh, my friends, can you not see it? Can you not see it abroad in your own city here in Birmingham today, my friend? The misery just goes on, the darkness and the death. My friends, it's the natural state of men and women. It's that state of death, you see, in which we're in because of sin. And my friends, there's no end to it, to the suffering. Oh, you tell us that lives matter, but they don't, because you're never tired of killing one another by means of abortion, euthanasia, drugs, violence, you name it. Never tired of killing one another. Why do men? Animals kill because of necessity, but men and women, they do it out of mere pleasure. They do it simply for pleasure, my friends. Oh, my friends, it all comes from the one source, the one common denominator that binds all men and women together. The fact that we are all sinners, conceived in sin, born in sin, live in sin, and die in sin, but for the grace of God. So all the wickedness, all the evil, all the death, all the killing, all the pain, all the sorrow, my friends, your addictions that take the life out of you, my friend, all come out of the one source. My friend, all the sadness and all the badness of the human race, all your insurrection, your sedition, all your protesting and rioting and destroying people's property, my friend, that anger and that rage, it's the anger and the rage of sin within the human heart. It's that natural state in which we are all of us born. It's how we come into the world, all of us. We come into the world dead. We come into the world angry. We come into the world, my friends, miserable, What's the first thing you do the moment you're born? The very first thing you do, you cry, my friend, you cry because you're not happy. Somebody has disturbed you, and you spend the rest of your life crying, moaning, complaining, unhappy, miserable in your sin. Unless by the grace of God He regenerates you, unless by the grace of God you're born again, unless by the grace of God you're made alive, unless by the grace of God Jesus gives you life. I am come, He says, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Is that you today? Is that how you would describe yourself today, as somebody with abundant life in your soul? No, it doesn't look like it, my friend. But that's what Jesus came for. He raised King David from the dead. He could raise you from the dead. My friends, in a whisker, I tell you, in a nanosecond, His will, His command. But my friend, King David, he called, he cried upon the name of the Lord. I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me, he said. As you learn, my friend, as you learn, as soon as you were born to cry, cry unto the Lord, my friend. Do that very thing. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Cry unto the Lord that He may heal you. Cry unto the Lord that He might give you life. Cry unto the Lord that He might deliver you from your misery and sin. Cry unto the Lord that He might give unto you eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. He says, O Lord, Thou hast brought up my soul from the grave and hast kept me alive. You see, my friends, when Jesus saves a soul, brings a man, a woman out of that state of death, He keeps them alive. He keeps them, my friends, kept by the power of God, the same power that saves. The gospel, my friend, the power of God unto salvation, the same power that created a universe, my friend, the same power that brought the world into existence, the same power, my friends, that sustains, upholds the universe, the same power it takes, my friend, to cause a man or woman to be saved, to be reborn, born again, that same power, my friends, keeps them, kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So you see, my friends, when Jesus makes someone alive, when Jesus saves somebody, oh, it's not to let them go, it's not to let them get on. Not to just let them get on with it, you know, themselves. But he... What are you saying? Keep that thing off your face. You should repent and believe the gospel. You get to believe before Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Might not do for you, I don't know. God might answer you. God might save you.
Yeah.
If you humble yourself, your present attitude is more likely to judge you. So I suggest to you, son, that you humble yourself, yeah? Because you're not as smart as you think you are, yeah? Get on your knees and cry out to God that He might have mercy upon you,
yeah?
Go talk to my friend. So like I say, friends, you know, Jesus, He doesn't just let, you know, somebody go. Once He saves them, He keeps them, you know? all the way through their pilgrimage, right to the end. And then, of course, well, save for that day, my friends, when they will be perfected in the glory of heaven. So you see, it's not a case of, you know, Jesus doing something for you, and then, you know, just packing you off and telling you, you know, just to get on with it yourself. No, He puts His life into us so that we are able to live as never we lived before. A quality of life. When the Bible talks about eternal life, my friends, it's talking not just about life that never ends. Oh, that's included. But life, my friends, a quality of life here and now in this world. A quality of living, my friends, that you just do not know about in your natural state and condition. The ability, my friends, to live above the principles or the lack of principles of this world. To live, my friends, on another plane. What it means to be born again, you know. Some people, sometimes they ask the question, they say, how can I get out of this dark, dark world? You know, how can anyone possibly live in the midst of all this chaos, all this distress, all the pain and misery of sin? Well, there is a way, my friend. There is a way, and Jesus calls it being born again. And being born again, God putting His life into your soul and enabling you to live on a different plane, my friend. In the world, but not of the world. Separate from the world. Separated from its sin and iniquity. Separated from its darkness. And given the power of a new life. The power to live, my friend. The power to overcome sin. The power to say no to sin. Today, you might think to yourself, how could I ever possibly say no to sin? How could I say no to the drink? How could I say no to the drug? How could I say no to the fornication? How could I say no to the drunkenness? How could I say no to the partying and reveling? How can I say no to the disgusting deviance that fills the world today? How can a person ever possibly say no to sin? By the power of Jesus Christ, my friend. By the power of a new life, my friend. By the power of being born again, my friend. By the power of the life of God in your soul. I tell you, it's possible to say no to sin. And live. Oh, live a wholesome life. Live a clean life. Not a perfect one. But live a clean and wholesome life. Live a life according to God's commandments. To be like the godly man. The ungodly, David says, will perish in the way. The ungodly will not stand in the judgment. But the godly man, the godly woman, meditates upon God's law night and day. And they live according to the principles of God's law. Healthy, my friend. Wholesome. Not grievous, but a delight, my friends, to the godly man or woman who's been born again of God's Spirit, who's been made alive by God. The law of God's a delight to them. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. They say no to false religion because they have the God of the Bible. They have the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ for their God. And He says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So Allah goes out the window. The Pope of Rome goes out the window. All the false gods of this world and the false religions. And that person lives faithfully to the God who brought them out of that state of death, of sin and misery. Now, my friend, alive. And now, my friend, living according to the principles of God's law. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Sabbath day is a delight to them. As they gather together with God's people to worship God, the living and true God, my friend. It's a delight to their soul. They don't live to work anymore. They simply work to live. But they honor the Sabbath day. They seek to keep it holy as God commands them to. And in that day they are refreshed physically, spiritually. And my friends, able to live in a way that the natural man just cannot live. When the commandment of God says to them, thou shalt not kill, life becomes precious to them. The life of the unborn becomes precious to them. No longer do they agree, no longer do they subscribe to this murder and death by abortion. No longer do they agree with that. No longer, my friends, do they agree with the lights of euthanasia. Life is precious to them, my friend. And they do everything in their power to preserve and to protect life. Their own life and the life of others. When the commandment says, thou shalt not commit adultery, my friends, they abstain from all the sexual uncleanness, all the sexual perversion of your modern society. They abstain from it, my friends, because their lives are in God, that's why. They don't do the fornicating anymore. They don't do the sodomizing anymore. They don't do the devious. They don't do the unnatural things that many of you do in Birmingham today. They don't do such things. Because God says, thou shalt not commit adultery. They're faithful in marriage. One woman, one man, as God has commanded in holy matrimony for all life. That's a delight, my friend. That's a delight to the man or woman whom God has raised from the dead, given you life, my friend, and promised to keep and to hold forever. My friend, the commandments of God, the law of God, the delight to the Christian man, the Christian woman, the man, the woman that God has put life into, and so they're able to live on a different plane, my friend. Above the natural man, the natural order, the natural world that's so full of sickness. My friends, of sexuality. Sexuality that is ungodly, unholy, unnatural, unhealthy. I wonder, my friends, that you don't get sick of it. I wonder, my friends, you don't read your newspaper day by day. I wonder you don't look at your internet screen, your television screen. And I wonder, to me, that you're not sick and tired of the filth and the deviance that's set before you day after day. But as long as you're in that natural state and condition, you love that stuff. As long as you're in your natural state and condition, dead in your trespasses and sin, you love that stuff. You love that stuff. And that's why the Bible says you won't come to the light because your deeds are evil. And you love the evil, you love the darkness, and so will not come to the light. So my friends, as long as you remain in the darkness, as long as you remain in that natural state and condition, as long as you remain in the deadness of your trespasses and sins, my friends, you'll remain a part of this world, a part of its sickness, a part, my friends, of its sensuality, a part, my friends, of its madness. And my friends, when that day comes, when God will ignite the fire, when God will begin the work of judgment, my friend, this world, the Bible says, will be dissolved in fervent heat. In that day, my friend, you'll go up with the world. Unless God first of all makes you alive, unless He resurrects you, unless He regenerates you, unless, my friend, He puts His life into your soul, unless He causes you to be born again, unless He brings you to repentance, unless He brings you to that place of hating your sin, unless He brings you to that place of tasting of the bitterness of your sin, unless He brings you, my friends, to see the vomit of your sin, unless He brings you to that place, my friend, of being so utterly sick of your sin that you're ready and willing to abandon it and forsake it and turn to the Lord of life and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one able to give you life, the one able to make you alive and keep you alive, the one, my friends, to give you everlasting life, the one who through faith in His name, believing, if thou canst believe, says Jesus, if thou canst believe, all things are possible, even your salvation, even eternal life, even everlasting life is possible, if thou canst believe. Can you believe? That's the question. Not can Jesus save you, not can Jesus resurrect you, not can Jesus give you life. That's not the question. The question is, can you believe? If you can, all things are possible to the one who believes. Whosoever believeth shall not perish but have everlasting life. Faith, my friend, only believers get to live. Only believers get eternal life. Only believers, my friend, only believers are brought into the kingdom of God. Only believers get to heaven. Only believers get the love of God. Only believers, my friends, get the life of God. Only believers get the righteousness of God. Only believers. Whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the mighty Son of God, who raised David from the dead and kept him alive, my friend, and alive forevermore, alive now, my friend, all these years on, thousands of years since, and he's still alive today, my friend, in the glory of heaven, because Jesus made him alive and kept him alive. And saved them, he said, that I should not go down to the pit, the ultimate drop, my friend. That I should not go down to the pit, he said, the pit of hell, eternal, everlasting damnation. Because that's the end, my friend. That's the end of your unbelief. That's the end of your natural state and condition. That's the end of the natural state and death. That's the end of the death. That's the end, my friends, of the natural order. Unless you're born again. The end of you as you go down to the pit. Yeah, the ultimate drop. The grave, my friends, is not the bottom. There's another drop after that. Down into the pit of darkness, the darkness of hell. There's something, my friends, to be saved from, believe me. Your sin now, the consequences of your sin, is misery and death. But, my friends, something beyond that. The Bible tells me that when Jesus, when He returns, He comes with His holy angels in flaming fire to take vengeance upon all them that know not God and who obey not the gospel, because of the rejection of the gospel, because of the rejection of what God has produced and provided His righteousness, His life, my friend, a new life. Rejecting the Son of God, rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, rejecting the only one who can save you, the only one who can put life into your soul. You reject it, my friend. The end of it is the vengeance of the Lord. It's the vengeance of God when He comes in flaming fire with His holy angel. All them that know not God, and they don't know God, why? Because they would not believe. The preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which is saved, it is the power of God. But the world, my friend, the world rejects the wisdom of God. God has made the wisdom of this world foolishness, my friend, foolishness. But in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, my friend. It's not by cleverness, not by smartness, not by reason that you can find out God. It's by believing. You come to a knowledge of God by responding to the gospel in faith. My friend, believing through the preaching foolishness to a perishing world, to a perishing man or woman, but my friends, the power of God to those who believe, the power of a new life, my friend, the power of a wholesome life, my friend, the power, my friend, to receive eternal life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing, my friend, believing, save you from that ultimate drop, the damnation of hell, the vengeance, the wrath of God that hangs upon humanity now because of its departure from God. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, hold down the truth, hold under the truth in unrighteousness. The truth of the knowledge of God that you have in you, that God has put in you, that you have in you innately. Oh, you know that God is. And you have no excuse because of all that He has made, a universal world. But you have no excuse for not knowing Him in a loving, healthy, saving relationship, my friend. Because He has given you the gospel. Because He has given you His word, which He has more fully and clearly made known. And because, my friend, He causes the gospel, the good news of salvation, of life from the dead, to be declared amongst you even here today, in order that you might receive eternal life, in order that you might live and live forever, in order that you might be born again, my friend. Born again, resurrected, regenerated, raised out of that state of death, my friend, and kept alive, and kept from that ultimate drop into the pit of outer darkness, my friend, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Eternal, everlasting torment and burning awaits sinners, unrepentant, sinners unchanged by the grace of God, religious sinners, my friends, and secular sinners. Oh, my friends, fit for the fire as naturally born. Unless, my friend, you come to that place, a time in your history, a time in your life, when you can say, I was born again. That's the day, that's the hour, that's the time when God came to me in His Son and made me alive, put life into my soul, and I began to live for the first time in my existence. That was the day. That was the day when He wooed me and won me. That was the day when He brought me to repentance. That was the day when I turned from my sin. That was the day when I spewed out my sin. I was so sick of it. I vomited it out. Done with it. Never to go back again. That was the day I believed on Jesus. That was the day I laid hold on the mighty Son of God. I believed in His name and He gave me eternal life. Unless you can point to a day, a time, my friend, when that was you. I have to tell you solemnly. I have to warn you, my friend. Unless you turn, 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 turn. Unless you repent, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Unless that day comes when you're born again, God raises you out of that state of death, out of your sins, into repentance, into faith in the Son of God who loved sinners and gave Himself for them. Oh, my friends, there must needs be a day. Ye must be born again. Not ye must become religious. No, 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 no. Not the same thing. Ye must be born again. Yeah. Not ye must reform yourself. Not ye must tidy up your act. No, no, no. Ye must be born again. A new life, resurrection, regeneration. Ye must be born again. Jesus said so. Ye must be. Are you for the ultimate drop? Hell! Hell is for you. If you're not reborn, if you're not made new, recreated, given life, life from the dead, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what's at stake here, my friend. That's what's at stake here. Life or death, my friend. I put two ways before you today. The straight gate, the narrow way. The wide gate, the broad road that leads to destruction. Life and death. Which will it be? Which will you choose? Choose life that thou and thy seed may live, says God. Choose life. Life or death. Eternal life or eternal death. Which will it be, I ask you? Will you turn? Will you turn? Will you turn from your sin? Will you turn from the darkness? Will you turn to the light of the world? Will you believe on His name? Will you trust in the Son of God? Will you repent of your sin and believe the gospel? This is what He commands you. All men, everywhere, He now commands to repent. Repent ye, repent ye, repent ye, Birmingham. Repent ye. Repent ye. No, sir, I won't. I won't. You shut up. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, Birmingham. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I pray God give you the grace so to do. For without His grace, without His favor, without His undeserved, unmerited favor, my friend, you cannot even begin to live. I pray God give you the light. I pray He give you the repentance. I pray He give you the faith. I pray He give you salvation. I pray He give you life, life from the dead, life eternal. Hear His command. again, Birmingham. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And I hope you'd like to have a copy of God's Word. You'd like a copy of the Bible, the New Testament, the Gospel. You'd like a copy of God's Word. Gladly place one into your hand, quite freely. No cost, no obligation to you. You're simply only for the asking. You'd like one, you come and ask for one. May God bless you, Birmingham. Bless you in the mercy. Mercy I see upon your precious, precious, never dying soul.